Blog Talk Radio.
This is the news in brief from the United Nations. With COVID-19 infections standing at more than 88 million globally, the news that a team of international experts will now visit China to look for the origins of the virus has been welcomed by the head of the World Health Organization, WHO. In a tweet on Monday, Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus noted China's reported comments that the investigators had been cleared by China to begin their visit on Thursday. A week ago, the WHO chief insisted that the mission was a priority after researchers had to turn back from China upon finding that permissions for their visit had not been finalized. Although the group's itinerary has not been disclosed, Chinese officials have been reported as saying that they will accompany the WHO team to Wuhan. It was in the central Chinese city that the health agency announced more than a year ago that the authorities had identified the new coronavirus. We look forward to working closely with our China counterparts on this critical mission to identify the virus source and its route of introduction to the human population, Tedros tweeted. The UN agency tasked with helping people infected with HIV seek treatment has called on countries everywhere to do more to tackle stigma. Failing to do so could result in an additional 440,000 AIDS-related deaths between now and 2030. Nearly four decades since AIDS first surfaced, discrimination against HIV carriers continues to slow or entirely block progress towards ending the epidemic, UNAIDS said on Monday. In 25 out of 36 countries reviewed, the agency said that data indicated that more than half of those aged 15 to 49 displayed prejudice against people with HIV. Although regions such as Eastern and Southern Africa have seen discrimination consistently decline, the opposite has happened in others, UNAIDS said, without specifying where. By 2025, the agency said that in response to the growing burden of HIV in vulnerable and marginalized populations, it wants to see fewer than 10% of people with HIV reporting being victims of stigma. UNAIDS also called for the same threshold to apply to healthcare workers who treat HIV carriers and law enforcement officials. A UN-appointed independent expert has urged Israel to reverse eviction orders for Palestinian families living in occupied East Jerusalem, calling them part of an alarming pattern to change the demography of the city. 16 Palestinian families have been served eviction orders from their homes in recent months in the neighborhoods of Sheikh Jarrah and Silwan. They include several extended families and two women raising children alone, said UN Special Rapporteur Michael Link. Mr. Link maintained that the eviction orders were not random and focused on an area in East Jerusalem known as the Historic Basin. Clearing away Palestinian homes would allow for more illegal Israeli settlements to be built, the rights expert said, warning that it would effectively segregate and fragment East Jerusalem from the rest of the West Bank. The increase in evictions, home demolitions and settlement expansion has seen historic Palestinian neighborhoods such as Sheikh Jarrah and Silwan either gradually disappear or become completely surrounded and isolated by Israeli settlements, Mr. Link said. He cited data from the UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs indicating that 877 people, including 391 children, were at risk of forced evictions. Daniel Johnson, UN News.
Listeners, last week we had, I had a problem with the house here. We had to take out the stove pipe in our wood stove. It was a major undertaking, and we had to do it all on Monday. We still hadn't had it done by Tuesday, so I screwed up. We missed John Grant last Tuesday. I'm sure sorry about that, John.
Oh, hey, Mike, that's okay. You got to fix your chimney there, man. Yeah.
Oh, man, that was major stuff, too, man.
Yeah, we have to get a chimney sweep to clean out our chimney. You know, I don't know, we want a chimney fire or anything like that. But sounds like you had a more serious problem. Yeah.
It's not a chimney. It's a stovepipe, which is easier to clean out. But man, it sure is a mess. It's a mess cleaning out. To be honest, we screwed up. We didn't clean it the last couple of years, and it caught up with us. And that's what happens when you have wood stoves. I'll tell you.
Oh boy.
Hey man. Speaking of wood stoves and fires. In the interim, since we haven't visited, January 6th, my goodness gracious. I mean, you know.
Well, every day, I think, after January 6th, the entire front page of the New York Times, which I'm, of course, famous for reading, every story, even today, every story is about the aftermath of January 6th. The impeachment issues and all of that. COVID-19 has been pushed back into the paper. It's just, you know, obviously the New York Times is one of the most powerful liberal, I use that word pointedly, liberal institutions in the United States of America, and it is mobilized, baby. It is mobilized. You know, it is, this was outrageous, this January 6th event, and it gets, as more and more and more information comes out, more and more videos and pictures, of course, there's thousands of iPhones at work here, and I'm sure even the Trumpian iPhone users would be just delighted for $50 to sell their video to somebody, even though it's damning their own effort. That's come out that's just amazing is all this testosterone, adrenaline-driven masculine energy that's pushing into the base of one of the entrances to the Capitol of the United States is so intense, and the cops are just trying to do something futilely. Well, they get a hold of one Capitol cop. You knock him down, and amongst all this frantic, masculine energy, they drag him down and they beat him. You can see some fat slob in a beard holding a U.S. flag. He's holding the flag, part of the flag, and he's beating this cop with the flagpole. And it's just so, such energy to it. And, of course, they murdered one cop. They hit him in the head. Somebody hit him in the head with a fire extinguisher. They were using fire extinguishers for smoke. They were shooting it up so that they were hiding behind the smoke. And they then used it as a bludgeon, and they hit the guy in the head. He went. He escaped to his office and collapsed and then eventually died. And that's a case of murder. They're investigating that as a murder charge. Then another Capitol cop went home and committed suicide. It's incredible. These people, like the head of the Republicans in the House, I forget his name, don't impeach him. That's polarizing. You're polarizing the politics here.
Oh, God.
I beg your fucking pardon? You're polarizing the politics, These people are incredible.
They are.
In the spirit of all this, I rewatched Deliverance last night with a really good copy, with a widescreen. And it is the metaphor of the moment for me. I mean, totally.
Yeah.
Anyway, I won't go into Deliverance again, but.
Well, we can do that.
Anyway, what do you think of it, Mike?
I'll tell you what. When it was going on, I was. It was the aftermath of the chimney.
Of course.
We fixed it. I was sort of like, exhausted, frankly. And it was a day and a half ordeal, and I got it done. And here it was, you know, it comes up. I get up. I knew it was coming, these so-called demonstrations. And I get up, and I go to the TV, turn it on. Chris is, my sweetheart's watching it. And to me, it was just like a routine. You know, I've been in quite a few demonstrations, and I thought, well, this is going to be, you know, this is no big deal. I mean, I watched the Trump speech, and I noticed. I said, well, this guy, you know, this is a little unusual. And Rudy Giuliani got on there and said about trial by combat, and then I got my interest
up. Combat.
Trial by combat. I caught that when it happened. I thought, what is this guy doing? Excuse me. And I was tired because I'd done fire watch that previous night. And I'd been up all night by that time. And I said, well, okay, it sounds like it's another goddamn Trump rally. And I said, I'm going to go take a short nap, and I'll get up because it was getting boring, you know, speeches at a rally. And I got up about an hour later. I had set my alarm for an hour. I got up and went downstairs, and my sweetheart was just glued to the TV.
Right.
By that time, they were all the so-called march had arrived at the steps of the Capitol, and they were literally like something out of a medieval movie, you know. And I was like, "What the hell are these people doing?" I mean, it's, you know. I thought, this surely they're just gonna. And you know, I was telling her as it was happening. I said, "Well, this isn't like some sit-in." You know, I was telling her I've been at some sit-ins and stuff. You know, and I said, this doesn't look like it's going to be a sit-in. And then with each minute, it turned into literally a riot. And I was, like, shocked, honestly. I thought if this had been some radical socialist, communist, Maoist, like I used to hang out with, we would have had our heads banged and probably shot on the steps.
Well, hello, of course, right. And first of all, there would have been all sorts of troops out there with metal barriers and free, First Amendment zones where you can speak your mind, a mile away from the Capitol, and we've obviously on the left have experienced over the last 30 years. You know, it got to the point it became boring. As, oh my God, I can't bring a stick for my sign. You know, the cop, you know, no sticks. Right. You might beat somebody with it. Oh, really? Is that possible?
Right.
Yeah. Well, it never occurred to me to beat anybody with a stick like this guy was beating this cop, you know. That's one of the things that I think the left is too naive and too soft and too protected and too believing in their own righteousness and all this. That's why I like Deliverance, because these guys that come from Atlanta are soft, and it takes them a while to realize that they better harden up and they better, you know, learn how to do some homicide themselves, you know. And they do, and they survive, and they win the war. And anyway, I don't want to go into that again. I'm sorry, but I think a lot of what we're seeing now is that outrage, like, you know, the shock that they would do something like this at the U.S. Capitol. The U.S. Capitol was caught off guard. This was an ambush. This was a surprise. And, of course, I think there was a fix. There was an element of fix in with some Capitol police elements and all that that allowed it, you know, allowed them to get in and all that. But it ain't going to happen again. I mean, they're going to have at least 15,000, maybe more troops in D.C. for the next weeks. And everything's going to be cordoned off. We're going to have cordons the way, you know, your basic infantry rule is you cordon your area off so they can't get to the goddamn building. And But then, you know, all the capital, state capital, our capital is going to be under some kind of assault. And
that's what they say. Yeah.
I trust the Pennsylvania State Police is not corrupted in part of this civil war, you know, on the other side. I mean, that's what I, about 4 months ago or 6 months ago, I actually sent my police chief and his lieutenant an email. I've been, you know, I talk to them periodically. And said, you know, I'm really worried about this Civil War talk, because what I'm worried about is I'm not sure which side you guys are going to be on when it hits.
Oh, did you really say that?
I did. Uh-huh. I did. Right. And, you
good
know,
for you.
And this was the chief reportedly in 2016 had posed in uniform at a Trump event. I haven't seen the picture, but I've heard that from a supervisor. So I don't know, you know, if it hits here, you know, the Trump people in our neighborhood still have their banners up to make liberals cry and all that kind of stuff.
Really? They still have them up?
Oh, yeah. Well, they still have them. I just walked the hood
crazy.
Here, and the guy still has it up, the roofer who did my roof.
The crazy bastards. Oh, my God.
And, you know, I'm going to, one of these days, I'm going to stop and say, Mr. Shelby, look. You're a nice guy. You did my roof. You did a fine job. I paid for it. It's fine. Why do you want to make me cry? Why do you want to abuse me and make me cry like a baby? You know, why do you want to do that? What are you invested in to make me break down and cry like a baby? You know, instead of getting my guns out and meeting you in the street, you know what I mean? Why do you insist on this sort of sadistic relationship with liberals, you know, that they must be crushed and made to cry? You know, God, that infuriates me. Whereas, my inclination is to, hey, talk to the guy. Hey, what, you know, what's your issues? Let's talk about them, you know?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Pennsylvania, you may have a point. Pennsylvania, here in Kansas, for them to have an armed, armed parade at the Topeka State House is sort of like walking into a kid's carnival, because these people are all Trump people,
right.
Except for maybe 23 Democrats. That's who I'm worried about in the State House.
Right.
The small number of Democrats in the State House and the governor.
Exactly.
They're very vulnerable, and I don't know what the state of Kansas is going to do to protect them. But in Pennsylvania, I mean, you know, that's one of the states.
Absolutely volatile here.
Yeah,
well, we're now a purple state, you know. We go both ways, you know.
You're the traitors. I mean, you're a state government.
Right.
No, I mean, that's why they look at
the
state government.
Well, of course, Pennsylvania in 2016 went for Trump. So a lot of the Trumpians feel that that's permanent. So they're always owed a winning vote in the state of Pennsylvania. Well, you know, over 4 years, experience happens and things change. And you sons of bitches lost it this time, so just face it, accept it. But they can't. You know, they won't.
They will turn to violence
instead. And
right.
You know, that doesn't fly in America. You know, America certainly has a history of great violence and horror and slavery and slaughter of Indians and yada, 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 Jim Crow. You know, we know the horrors of American history domestically. But on some level, civilization in the government, which comes out of the Enlightenment in Europe with Jefferson and all these Enlightenment figures, as hypocritical as they are, owning slaves and whatnot, There is this belief in America that there's something wonderful about that, you know, this idea of democracy and all these wonderful Enlightenment inspired things, you know, the Enlightenment coming after the Dark Ages and all that. You know, within the encyclopedists in France, and the idea of research and science, and instead of religion and darkness and horror, you know, of really finding out what the hell's going on. And of course, you know, that's the struggle now between, you know, one of the stories today in the Times is about the religious fuel and power that drives these things. There's one woman who drove all the way from North Carolina, I believe it was, and she says that she's afraid that Donald Trump will be the last president who ever supported Jesus. Now, just think about that for a minute. Donald Trump and his family and all that they do and the luxury they live and his aspirations, that Donald Trump could be the last president who adheres to the tenets of Jesus Christ? I don't know, lady. I think you may be a little deluded there, you know? And I don't know. I don't know what to do about that. You know, well, what do you... I'm all for Jesus. I put a sign out that Happy Birthday, Jesus. You know, blessed are the peacemakers during Christmas, you know? I was afraid of being shot for it, you know? It's like...
I'm telling you, when I woke up from my nap and came downstairs and I saw this stampede of clutter freaks going up the stairs, you know, and I thought, what the fuck is going on? And then I saw this sign. There's a big hand painted sign on the one of the true believers going up the stairs to the Capitol building. It said it was a big sign. It said, "Pelosi is Satan."
Pelosi is Satan.
I'm not shitting you, and I'm not shitting the listeners.
Well, I believe it totally.
There was a sign, one of these nuts were carrying up the stairs of the Capitol building in a crowd. You couldn't tell who was actually holding the sign because it was packed going up the steps. But it said, "Pelosi is Satan." And I thought,
what is going on? You know what that is? That is classic fomenting war behavior. In other words, you can't go to war and kill people and destroy their homes, put famine upon them, and all these things we do in war to destroy and get our way. You have to demonize the enemy. And what better way than to say, you know, metaphorically, that Nancy Pelosi is Satan. Oh my God! Well, then she must be killed, you know. And you get fired up, and so, you know, before you know it, you're flat out at war. And that's what this is. This is fomenting civil war. We're watching it happen. And because you know the left, the weenie left, you know, we're over here like, oh, we have to be nice to each other, you know, and all this stuff. When, you know, these people want to fucking kill you, you know. Can't we, you know, the left, like we liberals and diplomatic liberals, can't we just talk this over, you know? Really? No, you're Satan. I want to kill you, you know. I'll make you cry. Get on down on your knees. Cringe, you know. Well, after a while, you know, like the bumper sticker says, the meek are getting ready, you know? And I think that dynamic is happening. You know, the meek, if you want to consider the liberals the meek, the ones they want to make cry, the weak ones and all that. Well, I think, you know, again, like happens in the dynamic of the drama of Deliverance, the meek have to, if they want to survive, they better toughen up. And so I think that's happening. I hope it's happening anyway.
Well, let's see. The arrest, the head count in handcuffs is up to 80. And
they've caught 80 people.
One thing, I think that 80 people have been charged, arrested. And 17, excluding the supervisors, 17 Capitol Police officers have resigned as of all of those numbers of this morning. 17 Capitol Police officers have resigned.
Yeah.
Two.
Well, they're lucky they were let to resign rather than charged. You know, yeah.
Well, two were dismissed as is, but one for putting on a MAGA hat and another one for having their selfie taken with them.
Right. Yeah.
Those two were fired. And 15 others have resigned because they, you know, they were, you know, they gave directions, you know, to some where there's Pelosi's office, there's Satan's office, go that way, you know.
Well, Clyburn, the congressman from very powerful congressman, black congressman from South Carolina, he has two offices. He's the House Whip. And he has a secret office for his role as House Whip. They knew right where that was. Somebody told them, you know, one of these Capitol cops probably, you know, where Nancy Pelosi, you know, so you can go right to his office. You don't have to fucking ask anybody, you know, you don't have to look at the signs and like down this hall or whatever. You know, they knew right where to go in those cases. Which is pretty sobering, you know. As I say, the more you learn about this, the more you realize, you know, at first I thought insurrection, maybe that's a little strong. Coup is way, way too strong. But the more you hear about it, it's insurrection is certainly an insurrectional act. It's not a coup because it utterly failed, and it was, you know, a bunch of klutz did it, you know. So we'll see what happens on the 17th and the 19th and the 20th. I'm of the school that they may have shot their wad, if we say, you know, they may have, gotten away with this thing on the 6th. Due to surprise, due to the element of surprise, and they surprise, you know, with some inside job allowing them to get in and all that, but that from now on, they're going to face really serious troops and state police, and so you get to the point of who wants to start a firefight. There was a story in the Times about the Michigan situation, very interesting, and the headline was, if you were surprised by what happened in Washington, you weren't reading about the Michigan deal, you know. The thing about Michigan is you are legally allowed to carry an AR-15 into the halls of the legislature, into the hallways of the Capitol in Michigan, you know, unbelievably.
That's the way it is in Kansas.
And so therefore you got these standoffs, you know, photographs of a dozen men with various AR-15 types standing there in camis and whatnot. But there were no windows broken. There was no trashing of anything. Everything was disciplined. And, you know, again, nobody wanted a firefight, so there wasn't a firefight. Whereas in the case of Washington, you know, they went in and bulldozed their way in and with a destructive mode, and they wanted to destroy things and steal things and hurt people. Whereas if you get to the point of it's a standoff with people with guns, that there tends to be more discipline involved, and fortunately nothing so far happens. You know, they stand there and stare at each other with their guns, you know, but nobody wants a flaming firefight in the middle of a Capitol because, you know, very likely I could be killed, you know. And it would open up a conflagration that no one really wants. I don't think these right wing militia types, you know, they want to bluff their way. They want to act, you know, big tough with their guns and all that. And I understand that it's very intimidating, you know. But do they really want to initiate a live firefight civil war? Incident of civil war with, I mean, automatic weapons going off in the hallway of some state capital. I don't think anybody wants that. Because who's going to lose? And this has been my position. As ironically, on the left, you know, we created the idea of the deep state. We've been against it for decades. Well, suddenly now the right decided they wanted to borrow that idea. You know, the FBI was trying to destroy Donald Trump and all this, so the dirty deep state. Well, my feeling is, okay, let's go with the deep state. I'm a leftist, but goddamn, let's go deep state. You know, these sons of bitches out. So that, you know, if they go to a firefight somewhere in some state capital, they are going to ultimately lose. They will be driven to ground the same way that, analogously, World War II, Adolf Hitler was driven to ground. You know, the deep state of the United States of America, armed to the fucking teeth, is not going to abide by an insurrection with live fire. They are going to take these people out, trust me. And I think the right wing knows that, right? Because really, they're waving the flag. They're all for this deep, you know, the violence of the deep state. They love it, you know. So they know if it suddenly turns on them, the way it turned on ISIS in Iraq and things like that, they're going to lose. They're the ones that are going to lose. They may cause casualties. They may kill people. They may assassinate people. They may go to a terrorism, a guerrilla war, and you know, none of this open stuff. They just, you know, shoot people in the back and thing secretly. But in the end, as ugly and as disruptive and as destructive as it could be to America, they will lose. Anyway, that's my position. And we'll see. I don't know. What do you think? You think I'm
I always look at this is Robin Leach with Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, you know. right. You know, I sort of look at it like that. I mean, I look who's jumping Donnie's boat. Who's getting off his boat? Billionaire family, Betsy DeVos, Secretary of Education.
Oh, I know. She bailed out the cowardly bitch. I tell you, wow. You
right, and they, shipping freight. Mitch Cocaine McConnell's wife, Elaine Chao, Secretary of Transportation.
Right.
I mean,
right.
I own Chinese Freta. We have cocaine. I'm married to president of the Senate, Mitch McConnell. You know,
Big Mitch.
She's a rich woman. Betsy's a rich woman. I see a lot of rich people.
Yeah.
I guess Donnie's not going to be able to get millions and millions and millions of dollars off the PGA Tour for golfing at his golfing resort.
Oh, I think this event has destroyed his business a lot.
Jack Dorsey, who owns Twitter,
multi-billionaire.
You're not going to foment a revolution on my Twitter. Okay.
Exactly.
And,
no, I hear you. Yeah.
I look at this as like suddenly,
mm-hmm. right?
The ruling class has scruples, and they're willing to put up and shut up. You know what I mean? We're going to put
well
up,
the ruling
taking
class.
Our money away.
Yeah, but see the scruples here. This is we see
now,
this throughout history.
That,
the scruples
yeah,
are that the ruling class wants to remain the ruling class.
Yes,
and
they
so
know that there's a good possibility.
This event is so profound that it threatens the status quo of the ruling class. I mean, it does actually signal serious civil war. And when serious civil war hits the United States of America, like never, like until, you know, before it was 1860, you know, if serious civil war, we're in cyber war now, you know, if that comes, you know, all these fancy CEOs, you know, their lives are not going to be so easy, and you know their ruling class status is going to be questioned, because
right,
a lot of the right follows this book I've been reading called The New Class War, in which it's the upper class is conservative and liberal, hyper educated people who become a class of their own, running the system. You know, and that goes for liberals, Zuckerberg and whoever, you know. And, you know, if these working class white people that should be on the left, you know, Thomas Frank and what's the matter with Kansas, of course, the guy who first brought that idea out, that, you know, if this civil war of these, you know, really happens, you're going to have strained bedfellows. Already Glenn Greenwald, a very leftist person, you know who he is, right, Glenn Greenwald, from Brazil, is now a regular on Fox News. He's a regular on Tucker Carlson. Sean Hannity cited him last night against all these high-tech, big-tech people. And Glenn Greenwald's correct, assuming, well, just because they take Donald Trump off their social media wires now doesn't mean in the future they won't take leftists and other people they find unsavory off, you know, because they're becoming very, very powerful in this denationalized world we live, the globalized world we live in. So civil war will actually accentuate this Michael Lind's idea of the book he wrote called The New Class War. And so you're seeing, you know, crossover with the left extremists, if you consider Glenn Greenwald on a left extremist, sort of having affinities with the right extremists. José Ortega y Gasset, a Spanish philosopher, you know, back in the 20s, I guess it was, wrote about that. I read a book of his back in the 70s in which he talked about the extremes of right and left being not a continuum on a straight line, but being a circle, and the extremes meet at one end of this circle. And I see that in various cases. And Eric Hoffer, the stevedore philosopher in the 50s who wrote The True Believer, said pretty much the same theme. You know, so, you know, civil war, this sort of is going to accentuate this new class war, and it's going to break down, and there'll be strange bedfellows and new allies and you know, God, you know, all those people that love Vladimir Putin on the left, you know, I used to write, you people are out of your minds, you know. But then I come from the class of the liberal elite, frankly, hyper-educated, you know, we think we run the world. Well, we don't. I don't know, that's my rant for today.
Well, I'm glad you don't. And
right, of course, right.
I think what's happening is, like I said, the rich is having a falling out among each other, and they've got a tragedy. As usual, the tragedy is the podunk. It's the guys that rush those stairs. It's the guys that were true believers who actually think that they were fighting for the quote-unquote their version of the Constitution, I have
right?
tried to
this. This is Eric Hoffer's true believers.
I know
there they are.
You're one of them. You're one of them. You're one of them. You took the oath to the Constitution. My brother did too. And
right, I did. Yes.
And I've been I elbow my brother quite regularly, so I can elbow you too. I say, well, look, what do you think it looks like when there these crazy bastards? There's a crazy bastard on every street corner nowadays, yelling about the Constitution like they've got some goddamn monopoly on
knowledge
of
their goddamn ear too. Yeah,
you'd think it was a goddamn interpreting the Bible or the Old Testament.
Right.
I mean, I get sick of these son of a bitches with their goddamn pocket versions of the Constitution, waving it at me like some red book from Chairman Mao.
Yeah.
You know, telling me
absolutely.
I got the goddamn Constitution and I got a right to fucking kill you because I got a gun and I'm running this goddamn argument. I'm running
there
this
you
fucking
go.
Argument.
You
shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, and Jesus is on plus. Yeah, it's not only a Constitution, but Jesus is on my side, and he said I should kill
my
you.
My side.
Yeah.
I told you Pelosi is Satan. Now, bang, you're dead. I mean,
I think you got it, Mike. You got it.
I'm getting sick of this bullshit. You know, and I'm getting sick of this shit over and over because nobody knows what the working class is. It's almost like working class does not exist. We have no solidarity. You know, a woman, the woman, I can't remember her last name. Her name was Bree. She's a performance artist, black woman, did this very creative protest. She used, instead of using the climbing gear like these dipshits on January 6th to rappel up the walls of Congress, she climbed a flagpole, I think in Alabama or Georgia or somewhere, and tore down a Confederate flag in one of those fuckhole, shithole states in the South. She took the Confederate flag down. She climbed up to the top of this flagpole. Have you ever tried?
I do remember. Now I remember it. Right. That was in Columbia, South Carolina. I'd be the capital of South Carolina.
Okay. Yeah. She tore that fucking Confederate flag down.
Right. I remember. Yeah. Absolutely. Right. Very athletic, this woman. Boy. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
And then she came back down and took her drubbings and got arrested by two state police guys. She is a hero.
She is a hero. Yeah,
and then, you know what she said about this goddamn thing on January 6th?
Wow.
You know what she called it? Three words.
Nope.
Are you ready? It's vintage white rage.
I think that's true. I think that she's right on. Yeah.
That's what she called it. She called January 6th vintage white rage, you listeners out there. Think about that, because most of you are white. I know you are. And that's what this is.
We white people.
I mean, this is.
Hey, Mike,
you know,
I agree with you 100%. I agree with you. Yeah.
Okay. And these are workers that they can't get beyond their skin color. That's a pretty poisoned working class. And, you know, until we get through this shit, and Donnie and, Melania, his Slovenian whore, and Eric and Don Jr. and Kimberly Guilfoyle.
Kimberly is a piece of work.
Oh, man. I mean, those people do not give a rat's ass about you and your interpretation of the Constitution.
No,
I don't think
they do. Right.
They do not. They use you. Just like Hitler used you, just like Mussolini used you, and frankly, just like the military-industrial complex, beginning with Lyndon Baines Johnson, a Democrat.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's true.
They all used you.
Well, you know, the Pentagon is always there, and you know, the Pentagon, they don't want to lose ground either. So they realize
they
that under. So they're against Trump now because Trump can also upset their apple cart, you know.
Somebody in the Pentagon is against Trump. I don't know who they are.
Oh, there's no question. Milley, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, came out, and I mean, this takes some guts after he, you know, with this thing where they ran people out so he could hold the fucking Bible upside down, you know, Milley said, well, it was shameful of him to do that, and he apologized publicly, which, you know, obviously he's culpable in many degrees because he's the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of the Pentagon, you know, and all the you know, the guilts that the Pentagon has over these many years. But still, you got to hand it to him that he had the guts to say what he said, like, I shouldn't have done that. And I think the Pentagon is, you know, Dave Lindorf wrote a piece in which he suggested that, you know, if you look at the President of the United States, Donald Trump, his portfolio, the task of Commander in Chief is no longer in his portfolio. If you accept that they went to Mike Pence to get, approval for the National Guard to come into Washington D.C., and of course.
Yeah.
Mike Pence was being hidden in a secret location because there was madmen talking about hanging him, you know. And I made the connection, the metaphor connection, that this was, it followed all the basic rules of a lynch mob, you know, like in all those postcards in the 20s and stuff, you know. Obviously, you know, as I said, it's ridiculous. You can't lynch the Capitol of the United States of America, but Capitol building, you can't lynch a building. But, you know, it had all the psychological mob characteristics of a lynch mob. And they were literally saying, I mean, somebody hung up a noose outside the Capitol, and they were saying, hang Mike Pence. They were screaming it, you know. It's like, are you serious? You people expect this to fly, you know? I mean, Jesus.
And then that fucking potted plant of a vice president.
He went up and, I think he went up and kissed Trump's ass.
Donnie's ring
morning.
Yesterday.
Your people tried to kill me, but let me kiss your ass again, okay?
I think he's doing, and I can't prove this, but we will. The history will. I think he went up there to say, look, we know that the 25th Amendment isn't going to work. Your cabinet is quitting faster than we can get two of them to say you're crazy.
Right.
And impeachment is only, it takes a lot longer than 10 days.
They're going to impeach him. Hey, look, they're going to impeach him. They're going to do it Wednesday night, period. I'll put a $20 bill on that with you. I am telling you, I think they're going to do it. I'm sorry, my bad.
Well, you know, getting a vote for impeachment is different than a trial in the Senate, as you know.
Impeachment is one thing, conviction is another. Yeah, right. No question.
Yeah, right.
Conviction
is
not going to happen. But here, how about this? Yeah. How about this? Clyburn has said they could, and they can do this legally. They already established it in the last impeachment. They don't have to send their impeachment indictment, like an indictment. They don't have to send the impeachment over to the Senate until they're goddamn well ready to do that, you know? And
that's
so
true.
If they
that's
have,
true.
Like, 6 days left of this man's administration, and Mitch McConnell's over there, and they'd have to bring the senators back from wherever.
Well, you know what's going to do.
And the rule is it's a majority, or is it two-thirds, of the senators who are in the room. So if only Democrats came back, they could convict him. But it's not going to happen that way. Clyburn says what they should do is sit on the impeachment, do it Wednesday night. I'm convinced they're going to do it. They're going to vote it Wednesday night, tomorrow night, and sit on it for the first 100 days of the Biden administration, so it doesn't get in the way of approving all of his cabinet people and all that, and then drop it on a Democratic-controlled Senate after the 100 days when they've established themselves, and then have a trial. They can do that. The point being, they can then stipulate that this man can never, ever hold federal office ever again. And that's the point. And that's very possible here.
Until the potted plant. until the potted plant, Mike Pence, pardons him after Donnie resigns in the next 10 days.
Well, that's a possibility too,
will pardon him. He will go the Jerry Ford route. Nixon did to Nixon. He will pardon.
But that doesn't affect impeachment or conviction of impeachment.
I don't know. I don't care. I'm saying he will be pardoned for all his crimes, including inciting insurrection.
But those are only pardons for federal crimes. Those don't affect the state of New York. And also, here's the deal. If he self-pardons himself, of course, which will
Mike Pence yesterday afternoon cut the deal. He's going to pardon.
Okay, well, let's see.
I firmly believe, and that's what kind of sick,
you may be right.
Kind of sick mentality the Republicans have right now, because Donnie has more power over the Republican Party than they do, and this is their way of reclaiming it by giving him a pardon, which will allow the podunks out here to celebrate because he's got away with it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
they'll stay Republicans, and the Republican Party will live to fight another day, even after Donald Trump and Richard Nixon. So Damn it, John. You got to let me finish, okay?
I'm sorry, I apologize.
Just let me, because I was trying to, that was my kicker line on my comedy routine. Pence the potted plant pardons.
My bad, I'm sorry.
You know, it's all right. I'm just saying that doesn't finish it. It just keeps the guy going. I don't know about the legal script about whether he can run for office again once he's been pardoned. I don't know that. But, that he will live to fight another day, and we're not going to get rid of it. This guy is much too cunning. And what's sick is it Mike Pence. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine? I couldn't eat that shit. I cannot. The people wanting, people wanting to lynch me, and then just a week later, I have to go to the guy who gave the speech that brought the fucking people to lynch me. I have to go over there across the town in my limousine and go up and see this guy and say, okay, I'll pardon you. You just got to resign before this thing's over with, okay? I'll pardon you. That's the answer. And Donnie will take it. Because he knows,
you got to consider Mike Pence over the last 4 years, my favorite adjective for him is lick spittle, he's just shameless as far as integrity or manhood or whatever
alone.
You want to call it.
He's not alone.
Yeah, of
he's
course
not
he's
alone.
Not alone,
I
but
mean,
he is the vice president.
But Sam Brown,
in
my latest pamphlet, I listed a bunch of them. How many Kansans does it take to screw up a country, I did write that. If you read it, have you read that?
I read it. It's wonderful.
Okay,
I read it.
Mike Pompeo, tank commander, West Point, Mike Pompeo, he's still around. His Holiness, Sam Brownback, he's still around.
Yeah.
All these miscreant fuckfaces, these goddamn theocrats, are still collecting a fucking government taxpayer check.
Right,
okay?
Well,
all of them.
Thank you, Kansas, for the contribution.
Okay, now I'm done with my thing. I just wanted to get that in.
No, that's right. You know, I don't know what's going to happen either. We're both speculating. And I did read this morning in the New York Times, it's the fake news, of course, I understand, but that the Republican Party is split. It is going to be split for some time. Apparently, some of the new Republicans who have arrived in the House, especially, that just won in 2016, just entered, are entering the House, that they're sick and fucking tired of this guy. Really. Exactly. The young ones are. I'm going to impeach this. One guy said, "Look, I'm going to vote to impeach him. Absolutely, this guy's brand new Republican." And whereas the old treads that are there, they've already corrupted themselves. So, they're sitting there with their soiled underwear, and.
Can you believe they wanted to hang me? Can you believe they wanted to hang me?
I know. Lick spittle.
I really do. I really do think that that's what's going to come about. That's the only way it can go.
Again, Mike, we're going to see. We'll see. Tomorrow night's going to be key. Tonight they're going to vote some kind of resolution that Pence, Lick Spittle Pence, should enact the 25th Amendment with whoever's left in the cabinet, Well, that's not going to happen. Yeah. We know that is not going to happen. So the next day, they then, the front page of the New York Times has the very clean, spiffy, tight article on the front page. They put the whole damn thing on the front page today. And it's very clear. It's very lucid. It's pointed to, it's not messing around. And they're going to vote on it tomorrow night. They're scheduled to vote on it tomorrow, and they're going to pass it. And then it's a done deal. I mean, it's that simple, they don't have to go to committees. They don't have to do anything like that. They just have the irony here is that it was a fast track when they impeached him the first time. And all the Republicans said, you're just doing it too fast. Well, this is going to be like a magic act, It's like watching, like three-card Molly. What the fuck are you doing, But, hey, Nancy Pelosi may be Satan, but she's smart as hell, and experienced, and she knows how the system works, and she knows that they trashed her office and violated her office like they raped her office, and she is going to nail these zombies. On that note...
John Trent. That's what we got.
Mike Goodell, hey, it's always a pleasure.